It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting from Signal Hill in Kodiak, Alaska on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station. 31 degrees and snow out there today. We're looking for the temperature to get up near 34. Southeast wind to 20 miles per hour. Chance of this precipitation continuing, 80%. We're looking for a couple of inches of snow today. We may already have that. Snow likely tonight, mainly before midnight. Cloudy skies tonight with low around 31. East wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Becoming north after midnight. Coming up on the Midday News, a new update from the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization. A little good news on the business front for foodies. And a little look around the state about how the vaccinations are going. All that and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The U.S. Capitol Police officer killed in the January 6th insurrection against Congress now lies in honor in the Capitol's historic rotunda. Brian Sicknick is being remembered for the heroism he and other law enforcement officers displayed the day a Trump-fueled mob stormed the building to stop Congress from carrying out its constitutional duty to certify Joe Biden's victory over Donald Trump. Now, the first president in history to be impeached twice, Trump faces another trial a week from today. His newest defense team argues Trump's out of office, so an impeachment trial is unconstitutional. But as NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, the House impeachment managers say Trump is singularly responsible for last month's attack.
House impeachment managers have filed a brief arguing that Trump was directly responsible for the violent riot last month that left five people dead. In response, Trump's lawyers deny the charge and say Trump cannot be tried by the Senate because he no longer is in office. His lawyers also argue that Trump's remarks challenging the results of the 2020 election are protected by the First Amendment. House impeachment managers point to a phone call Trump made in early January, during which he pushed Georgia's Secretary of State to find enough votes to overturn the state's election results. The Trump legal team's own brief is due February 8th, a day before the trial is set to begin. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News.
House Republicans are expected to meet tomorrow when diehard pro-Trump factions may try to force a vote to remove Liz Cheney as chair of the House Republican Conference. Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, voted to impeach Trump after the insurrection. Russia is bracing for a new round of protests after a Moscow court ruled to send opposition leader Alexei Navalny to prison for more than 2.5 years. NPR's Lucian Kim reports from Moscow. Riot police have filled the center of the Russian capital and started making arrests.
A Moscow judge ruled in favor of the Russian prison service, which claimed Alexei Navalny had violated the terms of a 2014 suspended jail sentence, even though the European Court of Human Rights had ruled that trial was unfair. Navalny says the only reason he's being sentenced was because he had managed to survive a poisoning he blames on President Vladimir Putin. Navalny was arrested in January after returning from Germany, where he had been recovering from the effects of a rare nerve agent. The United States and the European Union have condemned Navalny's detention. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is demanding the Kremlin immediately and unconditionally release Navalny, as well as the hundreds of Russians detained in recent protests supporting him. Lucian Kim, NPR News, Moscow.
The Biden administration plans to ship 1 million COVID-19 vaccine doses to thousands of pharmacies across the U.S. starting February 11th. The shipments starting next week come on top of the 10.5 million doses allocated to existing vaccination sites. This is NPR News. The Senate's confirmed two cabinet secretaries. Pete Buttigieg is the first openly gay person confirmed as transportation secretary. Alejandro Mayorkas is the first Latino and first immigrant to serve as Homeland Security Secretary. Former AFL-CIO President John Sweeney has died. The 86-year-old labor leader had pushed the organization into political activism, even as union membership declined in this country. Here's NPR's Don Gagne.
John Sweeney led the nation's largest labor organization from 1995 to 2009 after making his reputation as an aggressive organizer with the Service Employees International Union. He took over an AFL-CIO he saw as lackluster and out of touch with members. He boosted political activity and built alliances with civil rights and environmental groups. Still, Sweeney encountered infighting as unions, including the Teamsters and the SEIU, broke away, demanding more effective organizing to fight shrinking membership. In 2011, John Sweeney was awarded the Medal of Freedom by President Barack Obama. Don Gagne, NPR News.
The Pakistani-British man convicted and acquitted for his role in the murder of American journalist Daniel Pearl in 2002 has been transferred from death row into a government safe house. Last Thursday, a court upheld a lower court's decision to acquit Ahmad Omar Saeed Sheikh and three accomplices of all charges except kidnapping. The court determined Sheikh, who spent 18 years on death row, had already served his time for abduction. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from iDrive, providing cloud backup, full system backup, and on-site iDrive appliance to protect PCs, Macs, and servers from data loss due to crashes and ransomware at iDrive.com/NPR and Americans for the Arts.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization reported 5 new cases of COVID-19 today for the Kodiak Island Borough, including 2 close contact cases, 2 community spread cases, and 1 travel-related case. This brings the current case count for the Kodiak Island Borough to 1,044 cases since the start of the pandemic, with 17 cases classified as active locally. There have been 42 hospitalizations and 5 deaths to date locally due to COVID-19. There are no active cases currently hospitalized in Kodiak. A good deal of business news during COVID-19 pandemic has been grim, but happily in Kodiak, there is a glowing exception to the rule. Diane Million's Million Recipes food truck is finally open for business after a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday afternoon officiated by Sarah Phillips of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, everyone. Really, from the bottom of my heart, I can't wait to make this what I want it to be, which is where everything we provide out of here, at least 80%, is from Kodiak, like Sit Connect Farms, Heritage Farms, Bounty Farms, Bright Box, Paulette out in the flats with her chickens. Just, I'm so excited. The brewery, I can't wait. Friday, we're gonna have brats that'll be soaked in wingnut brown, and they're gonna have Shelikov-style beer mustard with some kraut. I am so excited. I can't thank everyone who has been supportive over the last 5 years and listened to me talk about my food truck. And now it's finally here. And just thank you. I mean that on my heart.
That was Million speaking tearfully to an audience of supporters and hungry patrons, complete with pinatas, tokens from the Kodiak Island Brewery, and a socially distanced outdoor crowd. Here's Phillips now.
On behalf of the entire Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, we would like to congratulate Diane Million on her opening of Million Recipes. We've had the privilege of watching her business grow from an idea to complete fruition. Your commitment to fulfilling a long-time dream by offering cuisine from the Kodiak Archipelago is paramount in the building of Kodiak's economy and creating our sustainable future. You are an inspiration, Diane.
For Million, this has been a lifetime goal finally realized.
This has been a 20-year dream, a 5-year dedication and realization, and now it's here.
Million says this isn't going to be like any other culinary operation on Kodiak. She's dead set on including as much local flavor as possible.
My goal is to utilize all of the local economy and the businesses here
because we can sustain ourselves in Kodiak, at least 80%. Beef from Sitkanak Farms, chicken from Paulette out in the flats, goat dairy products, eggs, and pork from Heritage Farms over by the Mission. Bounty Farms will provide produce, Kenoyer Farms, the Kodiak Harvest Co-op. When working with both co-ops, we're trying to get an animal processing plant. That's the last step. Once we have the processing plant, then we'll be able to keep it, as long as we keep it in state, we're good to go. We'll have USDA inspected Kodiak products on the truck.
And what will she be cooking up with all those local ingredients?
Well, right now we have a limited menu because we're just starting up. We have Philly style cheesesteaks. I'm from Delaware, so I know what they should taste like. We have Cubanos, which are just fantastic. Two types of pork and a dill pickle in the middle. You can't beat that. Shrimp po' boys, because who doesn't love some deep fried shrimp with slaw? We have French fries. We also have potato salad, coleslaw, and deviled eggs, because you can't get that on this island all that often. And then going forward, we'll have brewery bites, like pretzel bites with homemade mustard made from the Shelikoff Stout, or one of the other dark beers that Ben has on tap at Kodiak Island Brewing Company. And I don't know, it's all made with love.
The food truck is presently tucked away in the parking lot of the Kodiak Island Brewery. Million intends to keep it there.
I want this to be the permanent home. I think it's an excellent partnership with the brewery. I mean, where else can you almost put a restaurant at the Y? We're the kitchen and Ben's the brick and mortar, and it's perfect. And after working with him for 5.5 years, there's no one else I'd rather partner with.
When asked what her hours of operation were, Million replied, 11 to 8 or until sold out. When the coronavirus vaccine became available to Alaskans 65 and up, there was a mad dash for appointments. Now there are slots open for those who want them. KDLL's Sabine Pooks spoke with providers in Soldotna about why that is and what it means for the vaccination effort going forward.
Susie Smalley of Kenai had the state's website to book appointments open on the first day. It was a bit hectic.
At the end of maybe 70 minutes or something, it was all secured. Except it wasn't, because apparently there was some button that didn't get pushed.
Eventually, she secured an appointment, but many who didn't get on the site that day had to wait for appointments to open up, as demand for vaccine outpaced local supply. Since then, things have mellowed for eligible Alaskans. Not only has the state streamlined its appointment booking site, but the mad dash has slowed. As of Monday afternoon, there were over 260 open appointments for February clinics in Soldotna. Those appointments were first listed online Thursday. Over 1,000 slots are open in Anchorage, and there will be about 600 slots for an upcoming Homer clinic starting Tuesday. Those openings don't mean everyone who's eligible is vaccinated. Rather, people might not know they can get the vaccine or are still having trouble signing up, says Bud Sexton, operations manager for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Office of Emergency Management.
Our goal right now is to do as much outreach as we can so we can find out and determine if all of those individuals who are over 65 who would like to get a vaccine, we want to make sure that they get the information that there are appointments available right now.
There are about 11,000 eligible seniors across the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Providers have vaccinated about 4,300 who are 60 and up, over two-thirds of the borough's total vaccinated population. State officials say population estimates might also include snowbirds, who may be getting vaccinated in the lower 48 this winter. Sexton doesn't think the open slots are for lack of interest or any widespread anti-vaccine sentiment. Appointments are still getting booked, just at a slower pace. Soldotna Professional Pharmacy co-owner Justin Ruffridge says people have been coming into the pharmacy and asking about available appointments.
I think that slower pace is helpful, so it doesn't make people feel like they, you know, are panicked trying to, like, get an appointment. Although, you know, there is a bit of a time crunch, you know, just because these clinics are going to start here in the next, you know, 7 to 10 days.
The next eligibility tier in Alaska is for frontline essential workers 50 and older, including teachers and grocery store employees, and people who live and work in congregate settings like correctional facilities and group homes. Officials are waiting to open up that tier until they've vaccinated a large chunk of eligible seniors, Sexton says.
So when is that exact date? That's hard to determine right now, and when that evaluation process right now, and we'll continue to evaluate and outreach to make sure we can get all of those groups taken care of.
They'll be reaching out to people who might have contact with seniors and will post materials in public locations. The borough also opened a call center for people who struggle with the booking technology. Center volunteers were putting people on wait lists last month when slots were full. Now they can get them on the schedule right away.
And so when we have vaccines that are available, it's nice when somebody calls our call center and our volunteer says, well, I can help take care of that for you right now. And there's usually a lot of joy on the other end because they weren't sure that there was an appointment available.
Sexton thinks it's a good sign that demand is slowing down. Ruffridge says the open slots show they're over some sort of hill.
Honestly, we're a little bit surprised. I think there was a thought that we'd get one more month of, you know, a lot of interest from the senior population. And so being here already feels like a question mark, but a good question mark, I think.
For a list of available appointments and locations, visit AnchorageCOVIDVaccine.org. If you're on the Central Peninsula, you can also call the borough's call center at 262-4636. That center is staffed weekdays between 9 a.m. and noon. For KDLL, I'm Sabine Pooks.
After a bumpy start, the relatively rapid rollout of vaccinations in Sitka is as hopeful as it is noteworthy, but it won't necessarily mean a return to normal, at least not for a while. Public health officials say that the recipe for finally beating the coronavirus has two ingredients, immunization and continued mitigation. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Have you got your shots? Is the new hello in Sitka. As of the end of January, over 2,600 residents had received at least their first vaccination. That's almost a third of the town. There are two clinics running whenever vaccine is available, one managed by the local Harry Race Pharmacy and the other by the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, which is also distributing vaccine to surrounding villages. The online registration system works well for the computer literate, and healthcare workers are making a lot of calls to reach everyone else. The startup was rough, but both clinics are apparently models of efficiency now. Sitka Assemblymember Tor Christensen, who works for the Southeast Region EMS Council, said Sitka had caught the eye of the Federal Vaccine Development Program, first dubbed Operation Warp Speed, and that we might be getting a site visit.
They're coming here looking to see how is Sitka doing it so much better? And the answer is, I think they're throwing everything at it.
With vaccinations going well, the question on many minds is whether this means Sitkans can put away their masks and get together again. And the answer is no. Here's a voice that's becoming familiar again as a new administration in Washington, D.C. confronts the pandemic.
We should not say that vaccines are a substitution for public health measures. It's a complement to public health measures.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and now the chief medical advisor to President Biden. He gave this interview back in December 2020 at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health.
Wearing a mask, physical distancing, avoiding crowds, that should all stay as we get into the vaccine program, because there's still a lot of virus out there.
Fauci explained that both vaccines available in the U.S. did an extraordinarily good job preventing people from becoming sick or severely ill from COVID-19. So you can be infected, but not sick. What's not known yet is if the immune response triggered by the vaccine diminishes the virus itself, making you less likely to infect others. And a lot of people aren't getting the vaccine, especially children who aren't eligible. Dr. Joe McLaughlin is the head of the state section of epidemiology in Alaska. He says that the state's vaccination program for older residents and essential workers is going to have a significant impact on mortality from COVID-19, but
it doesn't mean that the virus is going to slow down in the younger age groups necessarily. And so we need to make sure that we remain vigilant until we reach somewhere near that herd immunity threshold so that the viral transmission naturally starts to die down.
McLaughlin spoke at a press conference with Alaskan media on January 28th. He said that the herd immunity threshold was about 75%. That's when masks can come off. Dr. Fauci believes that goal is achievable nationwide sometime this year.
Let's say we get 75%, 80% of the population vaccinated. If we do that, I believe if we do it efficiently enough over the second quarter of 2021, by the time we get to the end of the summer, i.e. the third quarter, we may actually have enough herd immunity protecting our society that as we get to the end of 2021, we could approach very much some degree of normality that is close to where we were before.
And if far fewer Americans choose to get vaccinated than the 75 to 80%, Fauci said it would take much longer until the level of virus in society was so low that it did not present a threat to anyone. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Police arrested a 29-year-old Ketchikan man on Saturday after seizing large quantities of illegal and prescription drugs in a hotel room. According to court documents, a staff member at Ketchikan's Cape Fox Lodge called police after discovering drug paraphernalia in Corey Andrew Jackson's room. In a sworn statement, police say Jackson answered the door of room 228 and, quote, admitted he had a couple of grams of drugs in the room, unquote. Police say that was an understatement. They reportedly seized 82 grams of meth and 73.7 grams of heroin, plus 25.4 grams of oxycodone tablets and 13 Xanax tablets, while executing a search warrant on the room. He faces four felony charges, including possession with the intent to distribute. The public defender's office did not return a request for comment on Monday. Police say they also recovered more than $12,000 in cash, a digital scale, and a roll of unused plastic bags. Jackson has a 2018 conviction for possession of methamphetamine in Oregon. As of Monday, Jackson was being held at Ketchikan Correctional Center in lieu of $100,000 cash bail.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Some good news for halibut fishermen. More after this.
Have fish in the freezer? Have it on the table in minutes with Azmi's new Cook It Frozen and hundreds of other recipes at wildalaskaseafood.com.
Pacific Halibut Harvesters got some rare good news last week. On the final day of its annual meeting, the International Pacific Halibut Commission confirmed a total coastwide take for 2021 will be increased and the fishing season was extended by a month. Total halibut removals were boosted by more than 6.5% to 39 million pounds for fish taken in commercial, sport, subsistence, research, personal use, and as bycatch for fisheries of the West Coast, British Columbia, and Alaska. That's higher than levels set for the past 3 years. For commercial fishermen, the halibut catch limit of 25.7 million pounds compares to a take of 23.1 million pounds in 2020. Alaska gets the biggest chunk of the Pacific harvest at 19.6 million pounds compared to just over 17 million last year. All Alaska regions except for the Bering Sea will see increased catches. A breakdown in commercial catches provided by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer shows that at Southeast, a catch of more than 3.5 million pounds is an increase of just over 3.5%. The Central Gulf gets just under 9 million pounds, a nearly 27% increase over last year. The Western Gulf will have just under 3 million pounds, a 6.2% increase. For the two Aleutian Islands fishing regions, a combined catch of 2.89 million pounds is nearly a 29% increase. A Bering Sea catch of just under 1.7 million pounds is a drop of nearly 3.5%. Just over 6.8 million pounds will go to the recreational sector, and a total of nearly 6.3 million pounds of halibut is allowed to be taken as discard mortality from all regions combined. The halibut fishery will run from March 6th to December 7th. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Thank you. This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the second day of February, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:09. It will set again at 5:39, giving us 8 hours and 30 minutes of, well, snow. That will be a gain of 4 minutes and 28 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high was 53, that was set in 1957, and our record low was minus 12, set in 1971. It is currently a brisk 31 degrees here in Kodiak, up on Signal Hill. It's snowy. We're looking for a high of 34 possibly today with southeast wind to 20 miles per hour. Total daytime snow accumulation, they're calling for a couple of inches. Snow is likely tonight too, mainly before midnight. Cloudy skies tonight with a low around 31. East wind to 15 miles per hour should turn to the north after midnight. For tomorrow, a 30% chance of snow, mainly before 9 a.m., and then turning to partly sunny skies with a high near 38 tomorrow. Northwest wind to 10 miles per hour. And Wednesday night, it's supposed to clear up, low around 28. Maybe there'll be some northern lights watching on Wednesday night at Mill Bay Beach. Northwest wind to 5 on Wednesday night. Sunny skies on Thursday, too, with a high near 37. West wind to 5. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 5:01 p.m. That will be a 7.82-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 11:12 p.m. of 0.25 feet. Your next high tide will be at 5:43 in the morning of 8.67 feet, and our low tide for tomorrow afternoon here on the east side, well, it will be 11:59 a.m., so right at noon, 1.24 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 5:34 p.m. of 14.2 feet, followed by a low tide at 11:51 p.m. of 0.34 feet. Your next high tide will be at 6:05 a.m. of 15.24 feet, and your low tide on the west side tomorrow afternoon will be at 12:32 p.m. and be 1.47 feet. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 1,000 millibar low, 95 nautical miles southwest of Akiak, will move Tuesday afternoon to 140 nautical miles southeast of Kodiak and go to 1,001 millibars on Wednesday morning. As a result, looking at Marmot Island Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore, small craft advisory through Wednesday, east wind to 25 knots right now and seas to 11 feet. For tonight, east 20, seas 10 feet. For tomorrow, on our east side, north wind 20 knots, seas to 9 feet. And for Wednesday night, look for variable winds 10 knots, seas coming down to 7 feet. However, looking at Friday, they're saying southeast wind to 25 knots, seas building to 18 feet on Friday on the east side. Over in the Shelikof, small craft advisory through tonight, northeast wind to 30 knots, seas to 11 feet with freezing spray. For tonight, northeast 25, seas to 8 feet. For tomorrow in the Shelikof, northeast 15, seas to 3 feet. Looking at inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bays, Chiniak Bay, east wind to 20 knots right now and seas to 6 feet. For tomorrow, look for north wind to 15 knots, turning to the northwest tomorrow afternoon and going to 10 knots, seas to 3 feet. In Marmot Bay, east wind to 20 knots right now, seas to 7 feet with freezing spray in Marmot Bay. For tomorrow, north wind to 10 knots, seas to 2 feet in Marmot Bay. Kodiak City Council will hold a planning meeting starting on this Saturday, February 6th. The meeting will begin at 9 a.m. Public participation for this meeting will be virtual. The meeting will be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. For those who wish to request printed material or have questions, contact the clerk's office at 486-8636. Just a reminder, Kodiak Electric Association's meeting or election for the Board of Directors is coming up. 3 seats are up for election. The deadline for filing petitions is March 10th, 2021. Candidate petition packets are available by contacting the KEA office. To be an eligible candidate, you must be a member of KEA. Completed candidate petition packets must be received by 5 p.m. on Wednesday, March 10th at the KEA office at 1614 Mill Bay Road. And for more information, call 486-7709. The Kodiak Public Library Board of Directors will meet via Zoom. That's happening Tuesday, February 2nd. That's today, 5:30 to 7 p.m. If you'd like to attend, send an email to kpla.alaska@gmail.com to request your Zoom meeting code. Meetings coming up for the Kodiak Island Borough. Tonight at 5:30 p.m., the Women's Bay Fire Hall, the Women's Bay Service Area Board meeting is happening. Again, that's 5:30 p.m. at the Women's Bay Fire Hall tonight. Tomorrow, the Solid Waste Advisory Board is meeting via teleconference. That's happening at 5:15 p.m., and you'll want to go to the borough website to find a link to attend that. On Thursday, the Assembly is having their regular meeting via teleconference at 6:30 p.m., and again, go to the borough website for the link for that. On Tuesday, February 9th, the Fire Protection Area Number 1 is having their board meeting. That's happening at 6 p.m. at the Bayside Fire Station. Island Trails Network Kodiak Outdoor Film Festival is back. Your Kodiak Outdoor Adventure Film submissions are due March 5th for the March 12th Kodiak Fairgrounds Drive-In Film Festival. Films can be dropped off on a thumb drive at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Salmon Reception Desk. Contact Philip with questions or to meet you at the door. That number is 486-1871. Visit islandtrails.org/film for the complete guidelines.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.